looking at our text tonight in Ezekiel chapter 36, we see in verse 16, and praise God for this, Ezekiel didn't think of what to say. He didn't say, boy, I think what would be nice to say to Israel. It says right there, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. I'm so thankful as a preacher, and obviously we know God does lead us along, but listen, the Word does the work, amen? It's not my illustrations or my stories or anything like that. Praise God for His Word, amen? And here, he said the Word of the Lord came to him, and verse 17, we find that Israel, in their defilement and their doings, and God was displeased with them, and He said, I put her out like an unclean woman. Had to do with going back to Leviticus, when a woman had a child, she was to be put out of the congregation. And here God was saying, Israel is like that to me. Verse 18 tells us, says, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood they had shed upon the land and for their idols, which they had polluted it. These defiled doings brought God's judgment. Hey, listen, folks, sin is still sin. Amen? And God judges sin, amen? In particular, could we say this? He said in the New Testament, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, amen? God holds His people to a higher standard. You said, where do you get that, Pastor? Of whom much is given, much shall be required. Amen. And here God's people had defiled the land and it brought God's judgment. And God, looking to verse 19, God justly scattered them amongst the heathen. Verse 19. Verse 20. It says that when they had entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said, these are the people of the Lord. Why was that? Because these were supposed to be the special people of God, the unique people of God, the chosen people of God. And here, God literally could not bless them because of their sin. And so He scattered them abroad. And it reminds me of the time when David committed the terrible sin with Bathsheba and then obviously committed a worse sin by having Uriah killed. And old Nathan, that prophet, pointed at him and said, thou hast given the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme. Hey, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, just a sidebar. Let's watch our testimonies. Let's watch how we conduct ourselves out and about in public, amen, at your job. Watch it. You don't want to give God a bad name, amen. Somebody's like, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. You say, but Pastor, that's too much responsibility. I didn't give it to you. God did. Amen. And by the way, God knows you can handle it, amen. You just be a light and testimony. But here, they profane God's name. And then I looked at this, and praise God, it just goes right along with this morning's message. It said in verse 21, but I had pity. But God. Amen. But God. But this is interesting here, because He says He doesn't have pity for their sakes. He has pity for His own namesake, His holy namesake. Hey, listen, young people, listen to me. Jesus Christ isn't your buddy. He's not your pal. He's holy God. Amen. Now, thank God He is a friend of sinners, but He's holy. And here He, for His holy namesake, He says in verse 22, He's going to restore Israel. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy namesakes, which ye have profaned among the heathen. Verse 23, why did He do that? So the heathen would know that He was God. So that He, I am the Lord, and there is none other. Amen? And He goes on in verse 24 to say what He's going to do. He is going to regather Israel. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I don't care what prophecy experts say. God is going to regather His people into the land which He promised them. That's what He said. Said there in verse 24, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. And then He says this in verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. And then verse 26 is our text. We see God's gift here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh. You know, we see that in the New Testament. We see that as the new birth. The new birth, amen. We call it getting saved. Amen? Getting born again. By the way, I actually hate the term born again Christian, because only Christians are born again. It's a redundant term. It's like saying, I'm a Christian, amen? If you're a Christian, you've been born again, amen? But getting born again and trusting Christ as your Savior, we've been born of that water the first time when mama's water broke and the baby came out, amen? But we're born of the Spirit the second time. And He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And He gives us, if we could say it this way, a spiritual heart transplant. We get a new nature. And His name is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He comes in to live with us. By the way, though, may I say, however, Christians, though we have a new heart, though we have a new nature, we still live in a sin-cursed world. And can we say this? God's laws still apply to us. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Gravity still applies to me. Amen? You know what else still applies? The second law of thermodynamics still applies. You know what that is? Any system left to itself, any closed system left to itself will eventually wear down. Say, how do you know, Pastor? I think Brother Jeff mentioned this morning, how many of you are still on your first car? No, why? Because whether you got a new heart or not, the second law of thermodynamics still applies to you. Systems wear down, amen. Some of you, Brother Jim Kelly, you may have been able to run 5 miles 40 years ago. I don't think you could do it anymore. Maybe you could do it. I don't know, amen. Maybe you're the exception. But we wear down. I'm trying to say this about that. Listen, you have to keep something up. Go over to John with me. Go over to John. I think this verse explains what I'm trying to say here. You have to keep things up. You have to maintain things. God gives us that new heart. According to Ezekiel here, He gives us that heart of flesh. John chapter 13, look at verse number, well, let's see here. Let's go to verse number 8. I love this exchange between Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus. And they have so many great exchanges. And chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Okay, Jesus was trying to show them humility here. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And this is just so Peter, for those of you that know Peter. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Just pour that water all over me if I want to be part. Amen. Then he says in verse 10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And of course, he was speaking of Judas. What he's trying to say here, listen, is if we're God's children, you and I are forgiven of all our sins. Amen. Amen? The wages of sin is death. What did Jesus do on the cross? He died for our sins. Amen? But, as we walk through this wicked, dirty world, He's saying, you're still going to need to maintain the cleansing of your feet. Why? Because He's given the illustration, if you're a pilgrim and you're walking, even though you're clean from head to toe, you're still going to need to wash your feet. By the way, that's talking about daily confession, talking to God. I'm not talking about going to confession. I'm talking about getting on your knees and saying, God, that's a sin. Please forgive me of that. You say, but He's already forgiven you of all your sins. Yes, in relationship, you've been forgiven of all your sins. But I'll tell you what, if you want to stay in fellowship with God, you've got to keep that account up. Amen. You've got to keep short accounts with God. This is what we're talking about here. We're talking about our new heart of flesh. That new tender heart that God, by the way, remember how tender your heart was when you first got saved? Remember how tender your heart was to the things of God? And you'd hear the preaching and God would just speak to your heart. And it was just, it was literally like God had given you a brand new heart. What happens if we don't keep our heart with all diligence? Proverbs 4:23. It can become hardened. It can become stony. How does that happen, Pastor? I've got 11 quick points tonight. 11 quick points. What will cause us to go from a tender heart to a hard heart? Go with me back to Exodus. And as is my personal custom when I put topical messages together, we'll start at the beginning of the Bible and work our way back. Amen. But we've got a ton of verses here on this first point. And I won't take long on the point, but it will take a while to read the verses. Look at Exodus chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And you catch up when you get there. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. We know this story of Moses and Pharaoh here. Jump over to verse 22 of chapter 7. It says, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Chapter 8, verse 15. Chapter 8, verse 15, it says, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or relief here, he asked Moses to take this away, and he did. He hardened his heart. Chapter 8, verse 19, please. It says there, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Verse number 32 of chapter 8, please. It says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. At that time also, down to chapter 9, verse 7, it says, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Chapter 9, verse 12, please. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Chapter 9, verses 34 and 35. It says, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. In verse 35, chapter 10, verse 1, please. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Chapter 10, verse 20, please. It says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 10, verse 27, it said, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Chapter 11, verse 10, it says, and Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 14, verse number 8, just a few pages over, the Bible says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. What is the first sin, if we could say, that could cause us to have a hard heart, that could cause the Lord himself to allow us to have a hard heart of our own self and to have him actually harden our heart? I'll tell you, it's the sin of obstinance. It's the sin of obstinance. It's a sin that's not preached on very, very much anymore. But the sin of obstinance says this, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want. We've got wonderful deacons in our church, and I mean that with all my heart. Wonderful deacons in our church. I had a dear friend of mine, he's actually out of the ministry now. Beat out of the ministry, Brother Boston. Just threw up his hands and said, I can't take this anymore. Came to a deacon privately who was not fulfilling his office. Asked him to resign. Kindly, gently, properly, respectfully. This man was much older than my friend. He showed him what the Bible said about the requirements of a deacon. The man said, Pastor, I don't care what that book says. Now, I don't know about you, I'd be looking for the lightning bolt about any second. But I'm going to tell you what that man has had a consequence. I can absolutely guarantee it from this passage. Obstinance will harden your heart. Listen, when God says something, don't say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because you're in danger of having a hard heart. You say, but I'm saved. You can be saved and have a heart that's as hard as this floor. Obstinance is the first sin that will take your tender, sweet, soft heart that the Holy Spirit gives you and make it hard. Secondly, go over to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. And we'll have a couple cross-references in Jeremiah if you want to get yourself ready there. 2 Kings chapter 17. Talking about keeping a tender heart. And the application is easy. Don't be obstinate. Just have that heart that says, listen, if God says it, I may not agree with it, and it may be tough for me to do, but I'm going to try to do it. Amen? Amen? 2 Kings chapter 17. I want our young people to pay particular attention to this passage. Verse number 7, please, of 2 Kings 17. It says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, or under the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they had built them high places in all the cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images in groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye away from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants and the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks. Like the neck of their fathers, they did not believe the Lord God. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 5, please. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 3. Jeremiah 5, 3. The first sin that will turn a tender heart into a hard heart is the sin of obstinance. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3, please. Says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 26 says, yea, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. The second sin that will take your sweet, tender heart away and turn it into a hard heart is an unrepentance. What is unrepentance? You know what? Unrepentance is just saying, I'm not wrong. God's wrong. You say, oh, I would never say that. Listen, unless you get into a habit of repentance, saying, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, then I'm going to tell you what, you'll live your life and you'll say, listen, I've never sinned. I've never been wrong. I've never... If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. I'll tell you what, God told him, he told Israel, he said, get those idols out of there. I want to bless you. I want to be good to you. And they wouldn't repent. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's get in the habit of repenting. Let's get in the habit of repenting. When God puts his finger on an area of our life and says, I want that changed, Let's just get in the habit of repenting. God, you're right, I'm wrong, and all God's people said. Amen. Unrepentance will take your tender heart and turn it into a hard heart. It says they hardened. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, number 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. One of the sins of our day is a hard-hearted people. See, Pastor, I want to care for souls. I want to care for the work of God. Got to get the crust off our hearts. Amen? Sin can creep in. These things can creep into our lives and sneak in. And just like a cement that hardens over time, so does our hearts if we're not careful. 2 Kings 36, verses 11 through 13, please. Says, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. And he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. The third sin that'll take a tender heart and turn it into a hard heart is the sin of self-reliance. If you get the picture from this text here, God was simply waiting to hear from Zedekiah, wanting to work on his behalf. But when you're self-reliant, who needs the Lord? Right? Right? I think one of the sins of our church today, not just our church, but I'm talking about the church, is we just don't need God anymore. We've got beautiful buildings. We've got buses. We've got Bibles. We've got bookstores. We've got tracks. We've got, praise God, we got grand new carpet and all that. Who needs the Lord? I'll tell you who needs the Lord. We do. Amen. We need Him. And listen, the sin of self-reliance, it'll harden your heart quick. It'll harden your heart. Go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Number 4. Oh, this one is a cunning sin. It sneaks up on the best of people. Nehemiah chapter 9. In verse number 16, please. And then we'll look down at verse number 29. Nehemiah chapter number 9. In verse 16. It says there, Nehemiah 9:16. It says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto thy commandments. Down to verse 29. And testifiest against them, that thou mightest bring again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Daniel 5:20 says this, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, Belshazzar. What is number 4? Pride. Pride. It's a sister sin of self-reliance, but pride. Oh, how pride will harden your heart. Pride is the mother of all sins, ladies and gentlemen. Pride is the sin that set the universe into ruin when Satan lifted up his heart and said, I'm going to be just like God. And then what he did was he promised man, if you'll eat of that fruit, you can be just like God. Matter of fact, he said, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And how many of you wish we didn't know good and evil? Pride. What is pride? Pride is just thinking yourself more than you are. Pride's putting yourself above other people. God help us. I don't want to be like the Pharisee. This parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18. You know what the Pharisee did? All he did was talk about himself. I give tithe, and I do this, and I fast twice a week, and I. And then there was that publican. Couldn't even lift his head. He was so ashamed. He knew who God was. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that the publican went away justified more than the Pharisee. Hey, listen, last time I looked, none of us had anything to be prideful about. It's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about, you say, well, I've done well in my life, and praise God. Listen, thank God for hard work and character and all those things. But I'm telling you what, but by the grace of God, there go I. Amen? Any of us, pride. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, number 5. Obstinance, unrepentance, self-reliance, pride. Nehemiah 9, 17 says, and they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst amongst them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. What a great second half of that verse. Amen. What's the fifth sin? Disobedience. Disobedience will harden your heart. That's why, young people, don't get in a pattern where you have convinced yourself it's okay to disobey your parents. Amen. When your parents say, clean your room, you don't look at them and say, what, this century? Take out the trash. I did it last week. No, you're setting yourself up for a pattern of disobedience. And I promise you this, if you can't obey mom and dad, who you can see, how do you think you're going to obey God, whom you've never seen? And you get in, you show me somebody who is constantly, I'm not talking about how we fail. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us comes short. And every day, I don't know how you are, but I know me, every day there's something that I want to do for the Lord that I leave undone. I wish I wanted to get to it, but I didn't get to it. Amen. I understand that falling short, but I'm talking about a continual pattern of disobedience, where God has put his finger on something and said, I want you to do this, and you just won't do it. You want to talk about a fast way to a hard heart? Disobedience. I've seen it. Seen it over and over and over. I've watched young teenagers become disobedient and continue in disobedience, and now hard-hearted, don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. I've seen it in adults too. Just wouldn't do what God told them to do. Disobedience. Number 6, Proverbs chapter 29. Many of us will recognize this reference right away. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1, please. And the Bible says there, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 15 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. What's number 6, Pastor? Refusing to heed warnings. Refusing to heed warnings. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time where God says, God help us all, where God says, enough. Enough. I have drawn a line, and you have crossed it for the last time. There is a sin unto death, the Bible tells us. Refusing to heed warnings, it will harden your heart. Why? God does not warn so that he may ruin our lives, and all God's people said. He warns to correct us, to show us errors. There comes a point where God says, he that hardeneth, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Number 7, go to Matthew chapter 19. New Testament from here on out. Matthew chapter 19. Obstinance, unrepentance, self-reliance, pride, disobedience, refusing to heed warnings. Boy, we can certainly see this one in our day. Matthew 19, verse 8. Or look at verse 7, it says, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Jesus had gone back to the garden and said, look, divorce was not part of the perfect will of God. God didn't want it, amen. From the beginning, it was not so, and all God's people said. God didn't create 3 people in the garden, he created 2. And he gave us, and by the way, they were male and female, just in case anybody wanted to know, amen. I know we covered that a couple of weeks ago. But he had said, this is what God wanted from the very beginning. And so they came to him in their snot-nosed, pharisaical way and said, well, why did Moses give us a writing of divorcement? And he tells them why. Says in verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. Jump back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, and I'll show you the 7th reason how we go from a tender heart to a hard heart. Matthew chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, please. And the Bible says, verses 14 and 15, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'll tell you the 7th reason, the 7th easy way to go from a soft heart to a hard heart is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And Jesus says right here, you're getting into the middle of this divorce, it's because of unforgiveness. And he hardens your heart. And you don't want to forgive that person. And listen, by the way, can I tell you that usually in a divorce situation, the person who is guilty is not worthy of forgiveness. But neither are you before God. I don't like that very much. Take it up with God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Forbearing and forgiving one another, that if any have a quarrel against any, as Christ hath forgiven you, so forgive ye. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'll tell you what, you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, unforgiveness turns into bitterness, and the Bible says, lest there any root of bitterness springing up, and many be defiled. Unforgiveness is like a cancer, and it will harden your heart. And you know what will happen? You'll be waiting for that person to come to you. You'll be sitting there with your angry, hardened face and saying, yep, as soon as they come to me and ask for forgiveness, I'm going to give it to them, and they're going to die, and you're going to sit there and go, yep, I've still been waiting for them to come and ask me for forgiveness, and they're never going to come. You better just forgive. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to end up with a hard heart. You're going to end up with bitterness and cancer in your soul. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, refusing to heed warnings, disobedience, pride, self-reliance, unrepentance, obstinance can take all of these things, can take a soft, tender heart and harden it. This next one kind of surprised me as I was looking at it. Go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I think more independent fundamental Baptist churches need this point, and I know I needed it. Mark chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. This is one of my favorite miracles, amen. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. And why were they watching him? That they might accuse him. Verse 3. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? They held their peace. Why? Because they knew the answer to the questions. Of course it's good to do good on the Sabbath. Then he says this, and when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You know, an eighth item that will take a fleshy, tender, sweet heart and harden it is simply outward conformity. Outward conformity. You know, the Pharisees kept all the rules. They did everything on the outside that you were supposed to do, but none of it sprung from a love for God. Listen, if you're in leadership in our church, we have rules. We have standards, and I stand by those standards. I stand by having standards for dress and attendance and all. I stand by all of those, but I'll tell you, it can harden your heart if you're just doing it because pastor said so. It can harden your heart. Do it because you love God. See, outward conformity can lead to a hard heart. There's a lot of kids that grew up in youth groups that never went from the outside. See, you're supposed to go from the inside out. That's the way God always intended. God intended standards. God intended separation was to spring from a love for Him, getting close to God. And when you get close to God, you'll part from the world and it'll happen easy. It's a natural thing. But the other way around can lead to a hard heart. Those Pharisees, they were hard-hearted. Why? They were just interested in the outside of the cup. Just doing enough to look good. May God help us to not have a hard heart because of outward conformity. How about Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6, just a couple pages over. Outward conformity, unforgiveness, refusing to heed warnings, disobedience, pride, self-reliance, unrepentance, obstinance. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Great story here. Jesus walking on the water. Look at verse 50. It says, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What's the ninth thing, Pastor, that'll harden our hearts? Forgetting God's power. Forgetting God's power. Mr. Perry, what was the big deal about walking on the water if he just fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? They forgot about it. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, God knows that we're human. The Bible says he remembereth that we're but dust. But I'll tell you, there are times when our heart gets hardened because we forget that he can do anything. He can save that loved one that you've been praying for 20 years, but in your heart you're saying, I don't think they'll ever be saved. Your heart can harden if you forget God's power. Go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, point number 10. Then we got one more and we'll be done tonight. I want to help you to keep a tender heart. God wants you to have a tender heart. God doesn't want you to have a hard heart. Satan will harden you. He'll use any of these methods he can to harden your heart. He doesn't want you to have a tender heart. See, because a tender heart, God moves with a person who has a tender heart towards him. And Satan sure doesn't want that, amen? Verse number 14 of Mark 16. It says, and afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Number 10, Go over to Hebrews chapter 3, please. And we'll finish in Hebrews chapter 3 with number 10 and 11, points 10 and 11 here. Mark 16:14 says, their heart was hardened. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, please. Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. God will harden your heart through unbelief. You say, but Pastor, I'm saved. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. Amen to that. And thank God that never changes. But did you know you can live a Christian? You can be saved, you can live a Christian life, and be just filled and flooded with unbelief. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Hey, listen, you make a one-time decision for Christ, God is obligated to keep His Word. He's obligated. But I'll tell you what, you can go through life and trust God with your very soul, but not be able to trust Him for the daily cares of life. You know what that is? That's unbelief, and it'll harden your heart. Lastly, look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Obstinance, unrepentance, self-reliance, pride, disobedience, refusing to heed warnings, unforgiveness, outward conformity, forgetting God's power, unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin is what we talked about this morning. Young people, the deceitfulness of sin is when Adam and Eve took of the fruit and God said they were going to die and they didn't die, so they said, see? God didn't mean it for me. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Well, I know some people commit lewd acts and they get diseases, but that will never happen to me. I can go and I can play around on my husband or wife and I'll never get caught. That's the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. When I was studying the book of Jude for our series, I ran into this quote by a fellow named S. Maxwell Coder talking about the deceitfulness of sin. He said this, when God's word is too long neglected and resisted, He sends judicial blindness. Sins once abhorred come in where the grace of God is cast out. That's the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin will take you to a place that you never thought you would ever go. You may have actually even said, I will never do that. You know what? I'd never do that. Do you know what Peter said? He said to the Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never forsake you. Three times before the rooster crowed, they came to him and said, hey, weren't you one of his disciples? He said, oh, no. I don't know. I don't know who he is. And another one said, hey, boy, you know what? Your speech, you're a Galilean. You're no, I'm not. He's not. I don't know him. And then a sweet little girl, just imagine a sweet little girl like Gracie coming up and saying, I saw you with Jesus. And he began to curse and swear. And Jesus looked at him. You remember that passage? The Bible says he turned and he looked at him. And Peter remembered the words and he went out and he wept bitter. By the way, the deceitfulness of sin will always make you weep bitterly. And it'll always hurt. So, Pastor, what can we do to keep that tender heart? It's actually easy. It's one of these reverse messages. Don't be obstinate. What God says, just do. Don't get into a habit of repenting. When God talks to you, speaks to your heart about something that's not right in your life, just repent. Repent. Repentance, I'm going the wrong direction. Do I want to keep going in unrepentance and go off the cliff, or do I want to turn around and repent? Repent. Repent, amen. Repent, confess. Self-reliance, don't rely on self, rely on God. Pride, get rid of disobedience, just be obedient, amen. Refusing to heed warnings, listen to the warnings of God and heed them. Unforgiveness, just be forgiving. You got to teach that to yourself, amen. So you know what, if I've been wronged, I've never been wrong more than Jesus, so I'm going to forgive. Outward conformity. No, let's have an inward love for God. Forgetting God's power. Let's not get that spiritual Alzheimer's that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Let's just look in God's Word and read it and remember what He's done for us in the past. And how those of you that have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, how He's brought you thus far. Just go back and remember His goodness. Unbelief. Oh, believe. Believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. And then the deceitfulness of sin. Don't be deceived by sin. All of Satan's apples are red and shiny, and they've all got worms. Remember. Listen, let's keep the tender heart. Let's have that tender. Let's go back to those early days when we were saved. And boy, you could just read a passage. I'll close with this. I remember, and I've shared this before, but my wife had this Bible. It was a gift award Bible. And to me, it was hilarious at the time because every time there was a word in red, it seemed like it was highlighted. She took it and highlighted it. And it was from time where she was memorizing scripture and stuff. And I was laughing with her. I said, honey, you don't have to highlight that. They already wrote it in red. Amy, it's already different. Amy, you don't have to put a mark. Oh, but boy, she was. And I remember the first time I ever read John 3:16. 23 years old. Never heard John 3:16 before I was 23 years old. By the way, there's a whole city out there that's never heard John 3:16. And I remember I read it. And it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I remember welling up, being so tender. I remember the first year after I got saved, I saw, it was either King of Kings or Ben-Hur. And I'm not necessarily recommending Hollywood's portrayal of the Lord, but I remember when I saw that, it was literally brand new to me. And I thought, He did that for me. He did that for me in those early tender days. But you know, as we go on, if we're not careful, we can let these things creep in and they can harden our hearts. And we read John 3:16 anymore and we just read it. Listen, let's keep a tender heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, we